Inspiration is the process by which the Scriptures were written as the Spirit of God directed the Bible writers. And in some cases, there was a great deal of inspiration needed because they were giving those writers insights and thoughts that were beyond those writers' capability at the time. In the case of the book of Proverbs, not always a lot of inspiration needed, just observation, because these are observations about life that any watchful and thoughtful person might be able to make in many cases. And such is the case with those we'll look at this morning from Proverbs chapter 20. This morning at 3 Proverbs from chapter 20. First of all, in verse 1, wise man says, wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler. And whoever is intoxicated by it or deceived by it or led astray by it is not wise. Proverbs 20 and verse 1. There are a couple of ways in which we could take the first line of that proverb when he says, wine is a mocker and strong drink a brawler. We can take it as a kind of a personification where wine is depicted as controlling men, and it's really what men are doing, but they're doing it under wine's influence. And certainly we would all agree that under the influence of alcohol, mockery and brawling often occur. To mock something is to deride it, to ridicule it. And there certainly is a lot of that kind of conversation that goes on. And then the brawling, the riotous kind of outburst. Well, we have that expression, a barroom brawl. You don't ever hear of a church room brawl, do you? It's a barroom brawl, you know, because of the influences that are at work there. So that's one way you can look at that first line. But you can also look at that first line a little bit more conservatively, I suppose, and just look at it as though wine is the one that's actually doing those things. Wine is the one that's mocking. Wine is the one that's brawling. In other words, to those people who imbibe it, wine mocks them. And wine beats them up, as it were. You think about the reasons why people drink. Some people drink for pleasure, for example. And yet, if you drink too much, all kinds of unpleasurable circumstances will arise. People drink for sociability. But if you drink a little too much, then you become anti-social. And so it kind of turns it on its head in terms of what somebody is trying to do. The wise man says that we ought not to be deceived by that. Wine is going to make a mockery of us. And if we allow ourselves to err by it, literally his expression, or to be led astray or deceived by it, we're not very wise. And I hope those of you in this assembly are wise enough to recognize the dangers associated with alcohol. But let me remind you of a few things, because once in a while, given its prevalence in our society, we may be tempted to kind of go along with it at least a little bit. I want you to remember, first of all, that the Bible always describes sin as deceitful. It always promises more than it actually delivers. And if you turn your Bibles over to Proverbs chapter 23, there's a wonderful paragraph here in which the wise man tells it like it is. Proverbs 23, verse 29, he asks, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? The answer is, those who linger long over wine, those who go to taste mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, it goes down smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your mind will utter perverse things. And you'll be like one who lies down in the middle of the sea, or like one who lies down on the top of a mast. They struck me, but I did not become ill. They beat me, but I did not know it. When shall I wake? I'll seek another drink. It's the effect that it had. Then I want you to remember also what the Bible says is the right approach to things that it identifies as evils. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, for example, Paul said, "Abhor that which is evil and cling to that which is good." So to abhor that which is evil means to look with the greatest of disdain on it, and obviously to stay away from it as far as possible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the apostle said, "Examine everything carefully. Hold fast to what is good, and abstain from every form of evil." That's the approach that we need to take with reference to alcohol. Then there's a problem of addiction. Paul takes this up in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 with reference to another subject. But he makes the observation in verse 12 that even if a thing could be argued to be okay in and of itself, he said, "I'm not going to be mastered by anything." And of course, there are a great number of folks who have tragically come under the mastery of alcohol. They've become addicted to it. And if there weren't any other consideration, that'd be a good reason enough to stay away from it. But of course, that's just one among many things. And then there's a matter of influence as well. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. Paul urged us to be lights in the world. He said we're lights in the world and we are to make sure that our conduct, and he mentioned our attitudes also in the preceding verse, are such that we can have that effect. And we live in a time when alcohol is not associated with Christianity at all. Alcohol is associated with worldliness. Now, it's true that in the Bible era, the word wine was used sometimes with reference to alcoholic, sometimes non-alcoholic things. And so the fact that somebody drank wine in and of itself might or might not have any particular social stigma, it's a little different in our day. So there are a lot of reasons why we need to heed the words of the wise man when he said, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise." Now go with me back to Proverbs chapter 20. And I want you to think of another verse here that I think is useful to us. Verse 19 of Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs 20 and verse 19. "He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip." Has anyone ever come and told you, "Now, I want to tell you something, but this is to go no further. Keep this under your hat. Make sure you don't tell anybody else, but I got to tell you." You hear that? Well, sometimes people say that, and sometimes if we're not careful, we may be saying that ourselves when we go to relate something to someone else. Now, they really don't want this known, but I'm going to tell you anyway. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13, the wise man said, "He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter." You know, I think what he's trying to tell us in both of those verses is we need to be really careful. Because if someone will talk to you about others, they'll very likely talk to others about you. won't they? What would be there to prevent that? And so we need to be really careful. And he observes in Proverbs 11 that the trustworthy man will conceal a matter. However, in our same chapter, Proverbs chapter 20, where we are this morning, he observes in verse 6, many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man? Trustworthy man conceals secrets, but he's hard to find. I'll tell you what, folks, there's one really easy way to keep a secret. Just don't tell anyone. If there's something that you don't want anybody to know, then don't tell anyone. And it won't ever get out. The caution in the proverb, of course, is not just about our own revealing of things to others, but our association with other people who also have a tendency to reveal other things. That can get us into trouble. So, be careful about that. And then I'd like you to go down with me almost to the end of the chapter. Proverbs 20 and verse 29. One more to think about. Proverbs 20 verse 29 says, the glory of young men is their strength, and the honor of old men is their gray hair. The glory of young men, their strength, and the honor of old men, their gray hair. I think he's observing, first of all, that every age, every phase of life has its pluses. It's great when you're a little kid and all you got to do, like Charlotte, all you can do is play all day. That's it. No responsibility. You just get to play all day. You can take a nap, although little kids don't want to sometimes, but isn't it great along in there? And even as you begin to age a little bit and you have to start going to school and learning things and whatever, there's still a lot of fun time in there. And then you get into young adulthood. And that's a great time. About time you go to college somewhere along in there. That's a great time. In some ways, that's one of the best times of life because you've got a higher level of independence than you've ever had, but still not a whole lot of responsibility either. So it's a really nice balance along in there. And that's also about the time when you're entering into the phase of life when physically you're probably going to be as good as you ever are. The glory of young men is their strength. And then as a little time passes, you'll kind of come to another phase of life. And that's a great one too. The time when most of us get married. And then a little while after that come the little ones. And that is such a fun time of life. Being able to start to really develop that relationship, that closeness with a spouse, and then being able to see the joy that little children bring, and that's a special time. And then we move beyond that and we get into, you know, maybe up into our, I don't know, mid-30s or 40s or along in there, and we start getting into what they call middle age, whatever that is. And that's a great time, too, because by now you're getting more established in your job, typically, and maybe being a little more successful, and you're making a little bit more money. And so there are a lot of things that are going good for you along in there, typically. And then that just kind of moves into some of the later stages of middle ages, but that's okay too, because now you're getting to the point where you might actually be getting a little bit more independence again as the children are finally growing up and things are going well. You're probably getting into the years of really your peak as far as your leadership capacity, a combination of growing wisdom and knowledge and learning, and yet still a lot of strength and vitality. And hopefully you just keep learning things as you go, but then when you get into your 60s and into your 70s, things start slowing down a little bit. And that's okay, because you're about ready to slow down a little bit by then. You've done a lot of different things. And as you age even beyond that, things really start slowing down. And, well, the mind just doesn't work quite as well as it used to, and the body doesn't work quite as well as it used to, but that's okay, because you don't have quite as much you have to do as you used to. And hopefully you're going to be able to enjoy those times as well. And the glory of old men is their gray hair, and it's kind of a testament to they've survived it all. They've passed through all of those phases. What do you do with a proverb like this that just makes the observation that the glory of young men is their strength and the honor of old men is their gray hair? Well, having recognized that there are different pluses to every time in life, of course, we could go back through all that and say there are some minuses to all those times in life too, but we really don't want to go there, do we? We don't talk about all that. Having acknowledged that, I think there are two or three things that ought to be rather obvious. Number one, we need to learn to enjoy every phase, no matter what it is. Can't you remember when you were young, when you were a kid, how anxious you were to be older? You ask a kid how old he is, I'm 9 and a half. Nobody ever says they're 43 and a half, but I'm 9 and a half, you know? That half's important along in there. Kid not too long ago, how old he was, his birthday was last month, and he said, I was 11 last month, I'm almost 12. Well, can't wait for that one to come up, you know. And you wanted to be that next grade older, because it just seemed like it would be great to be a little bit older and there'd be more you could do. And, oh man, 16 just sounded great, because then you could drive, you know, or 18 and you could vote and whatever. And get so anxious for the next thing to come. The next thing. And after a few of those next things have come, and you turn around and look back and you say, well, those next things came in a hurry. And I'm not so anxious for the next thing to come now. It can slow down a little bit here. So, just learn to enjoy it all. Whatever phase that you're in, if you're in a very early beginning state, take it easy and enjoy that. And there's plenty of time to do all this stuff later. And if you're a little more toward the end of the way, well, that's okay. You just make the best of that too. Embrace that, as they say. My sister sent me a text last week. She got her Medicare card in the mail. And she said, I'm really struggling with this. She said, I guess I need to do what they say and just embrace it. And that's what the wise man is telling us, isn't it? There are good times, good things to be said for whatever phase you're in. Just embrace that and enjoy it and make the most out of it. That's one of the pieces of advice that he gave us in the book of Ecclesiastes over and over again. Just to enjoy the day and make the most of that day. But number two, obviously this means that we don't just constantly focus on the future and try to say, I want to hurry up and get past this, and I'm sure looking forward to being there, or conversely, to being a little further along and just constantly longing for the past and focused on what it always used to be and what I used to be able to do, and that's a mistake too. Just enjoy each thing. And then number three, don't disparage someone else because of the phase that he's in. Be realistic in your expectations of others. Children are going to be children. I think sometimes our expectations of children are a little too low, but let children be children. Let them enjoy their childhood. And don't expect of a teenager the maturity of judgment that a 40-something is going to have. And be patient when you're in line at the store and the elderly lady in front of you can't find her checkbook in her purse, no matter how many times she goes through it, it's in there somewhere and she'll find it one of these days. You know, you're going to get there too, and I'm getting there faster than, well, I'm not going to be the old lady, but anyway, you know what I mean. We're all getting there one of these days. So just kind of try to be understanding about where others are and what they know or what they don't know or what they can do or what they really can't do at this point. And understand how great it is in life if we can just learn how to do this and just make the most of every part of life. So, three simple things to remember from today's lesson. Number one, don't be deceived by wine. It's a mocker. It's a brawler. That's what it'll do to you. Number two, be really cautious about the talebearer, the gossip. If he'll talk to you about others, he'll probably talk to others about you too. Number three, no matter where you are in life, make the best of it. Make the best of it. Practical wisdom from the book. Let's pray together. Father, we're so grateful to you for this day and for the opportunity we have this morning to gather and open this book and think about these practical observations made so long ago. Help us to learn these simple lessons, to take them to heart. Help us to be able to remember them as we go through our days, that we might conduct ourselves rightly before you and rightly toward others. We might be able to get the most out of life, that we might not learn lessons the hard way, but we might learn by listening to the wisdom you've preserved for us. Thank you for these studies and these opportunities and for the blessing that they bring. We pray in Jesus' name.